Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 90 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review, a chance to look back at the events of the past week in the two Florida cases. Actually, we're going to include a third this week. Kaylee Anthony, Haley Cummings, and the very sad case involving Summer. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Jan did try to call in sick, but I wouldn't let her. I told her she just had to participate.
And I'm really sick this time, though.
From Gainesville, Florida, we have ace reporter and news director for The Sky 97.3, TJ Hart. TJ, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Don't expect for me to raise my voice today because it's not humanly possible.
Also from Florida, we have private investigator William Cobra Storbs. How's it going, Cobra?
Hey, Simon. Good to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And from New York, we have crime writer and author Denny Griffin. Denny, how's your day going?
Good afternoon, everyone, and so far, so good, Simon.
That's great. We'll see if we can change that in the next 90 minutes. As always, our phone lines are open, and the number to call in is 646-378-1120, or you can ask your questions in our chat room. That's also in operation, and Jan is keeping an eagle eye on that. One last thing before we get started, a shameless piece of advertising. At 9 a.m. Central tomorrow, I'll be publishing a book review. At 10 a.m. Central, I'll be interviewing the author here on Blog Talk Radio. Because of a non-disclosure agreement, I can't reveal the title nor the author until tomorrow. But I can tell you this. It is an expose of a large U.S. corporation. It does $8 billion a year in sales. And I can also tell you that by noon tomorrow, there's going to be a lot of executives reaching for the bottle of Tums, and a whole lot of overpaid corporate lawyers will be running to their favorite team judges, trying to get an injunction. Okay, on with the show. Let's start with Kaylee Anthony. There wasn't a huge amount of important news this week, but there was some that was fairly amusing, shall we say. Tampa-based radio show host Bubba the Love Sponge has offered George and Cindy $25,000 for a one-hour interview. Now, Bubba's a bit of a shock jock. in fact, Jan and I were guests on the Bubba show a few months back.
He didn't offer us $25,000.
Jan, do you see the Anthonys taking this deal?
No. Well, yeah, they would if it was up to them. I think they would. But it would be probably with, she'd probably tell him only if you side with us.
Oh, I really can't see Bubba going for that.
Well, neither can I, but that's the only way I'd see Cindy taking it.
For listeners that have never heard of Bubba the Love Sponge, I mean, he runs a morning talk radio show, and he definitely is in the shock jock arena, but his heart's in the right place. I'll just bet that he would love to get George and Cindy in the studio. I mean, it certainly wouldn't be any of the directed pieces that we've seen on 48 Hours, or for that matter, even CNN.
Oh.
Cobra, you must know Bubba.
I have heard the name Bubba, but I'm hoping Bubba calls me and asks me for a half hour. I'll give him 2 hours for $25,000. He'll probably spend more than that in shrink fees after the show, but hell, I'm game.
Okay, the other news that happened was George and Cindy decided to escape from the constant eye of the press and spent some of the $20,000 they were given, not for taking part in a TV interview, but as a licensing fee.
Right, for the pictures that they sold them, you could say. And they went on a cruise for a 4-day cruise to the Caribbean. It was George and Cindy and Lee and his girlfriend. They had a very good weekend, apparently. They decided to go the weekend that the 48-hour mystery show was on air. And when they got off of the boat, Monday, I believe it was, a cameraman was there and caught her, and she turned around and told them to put the camera down, that they took the cruise to get away from the press. But yet, they were the ones that had just put their faces on national TV that very weekend. So, I mean, she wants it one way, and then the next she says she wants it another way. So I guess those dollar signs just rung in her eyes, and she couldn't resist them.
Oh, the similarities.
Oh, indeed. There are many. Denny, do you have any comments about the cruise situation?
Not necessarily about the cruise, but I got to tell you, and maybe I should ask Jan this. Remember when the Cindy and George were being deposed for the civil case,
uh-huh.
And they refused to answer questions?
Yeah,
Zenaida, and they were very obnoxious, and they kept telling the lawyers, if you say that one more time, I'm getting up and walking out, and blah, blah, blah. Well, I was looking forward to them having to come back and answer the questions. Now, I guess the attorney said, well, actually, we can get that from their depositions from other places. So they dropped their effort. And I was disappointed in that, because I thought that sent just a horrible message.
You can get away with that. Everybody can go do that. I mean, how come they got away with that is what I didn't understand, too. But they said that they had enough of the information from the FBI files that they didn't need them to answer them. But I didn't understand that one either, because they should have been held accountable for them. I mean, that was a deposition, and they weren't there to choose what they were going to answer and what they weren't going to answer, but yet they got away with it, as usual.
Yeah, I mean, I've been deposed a couple of times. And sure, I have my lawyer with me, and if there's a question that's not appropriate, he'll go, don't answer, all right? But you can't pick and choose your questions.
Right.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
Florida's like this. A lot of times he'll say don't answer or hold up for a second. You're going to end up answering the question, but he's got a strong objection to it as to whether or not that's going to remain something that the court's going to hear, whether or not the jury's going to hear it, because there's objection in the document. But typically, you're going to go ahead and answer that question. I think that they didn't win anything. They actually lost, because where those statements are going to come from is the statements that they gave before a grand jury and the statements they gave before law enforcement. You remember, those statements were a hell of a lot different statements than what was going on with Mr. Morgan there.
I think that's why Mr. Morgan decided to go with it that way, because it wasn't worth the fight. I mean, I don't know if you've seen them, Cobra, the tapes of that, but I mean, Cindy got to where she was asking him questions in
the chat. Yeah, yeah. Well, that, Mr. Morgan and his clients, they're very, very smart, and they wait for stuff like that, and they just sit back and let the move go down, because the way they did it now, they're going to get a whole lot more answers than
right.
what they got out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they even got the prosecution for the criminal trial has got George's statement to the grand jury now to use also, and they weren't expecting that to happen at all.
Well, George shouldn't have spoke so fast, and neither
right.
her, because they said we can get them elsewhere or something to that effect. You know, I don't know if it was actually worth it. We didn't get it there then. So, well, that gave them permission.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that they went the right way as far as that goes, because I think they should have been able to use it.
Okay, the other news this week was the National Enquirer, which is, you know, well respected for its truth in reporting. It is claiming that the T-shirt says it all. Big trouble comes in small packages. And I don't have a copy of the National Enquirer in front of me. You know, I, alas, forgot to pick it up at the supermarket this morning. But apparently they are claiming that the police do believe that the T-shirt indeed proves the mother's motive.
They're claiming that the T-shirt says it all, but they found the letters thrown around in the where the body, well, the remains, what was left over, were found in the woods. And they have pictures of her wearing the T-shirt. And it's, I don't know, I think it's a big turnaround for the National Enquirer. A couple of weeks ago, they were saying Richard Grun did it. Now they're saying that Casey did it. So, I mean, it doesn't say much for them, does it?
Well, I mean, they are a highly reputable news source, honey.
Right.
I mean, if you want to find out the latest Elvis sightings, yeah, that's certainly where I turn to. The other news that came out of the Kaylee Anthony case is that meter reader Roy Kronk, he was the guy that discovered the remains, not body, remains,
mm-hmm.
is set to be deposed by Bozo and the boy. Oh, sorry, Baez and his expert team on November the 19th. I can't honestly think of anything useful that Mr. Kronk could possibly add to Casey's defense, but I guess the guy is grabbing at straws.
Maybe not. How did Crump find out the child was out there?
Well, I think it was Cindy and somebody that was sending him out there.
His girlfriend works at the jail.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the chances of his girlfriend eavesdropping, accidentally overhearing, however they want to phrase it, when she had attorney-client privilege? And it went back through the sheriff's office and came back through Crump. I think that's a strong move for Mr. Baez as well. Very strong move.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that.
Yeah. Well, it's going to go back to that attorney-client privilege. And how did you find out about it, Mr. Crump? And I was reading a meter bullshit. Do your girlfriend work down there around that area? Oh, yeah. What'd she say? We need to pose her next. Remember, perjury is going to set you back about 5, so come on with it.
Right.
You know, I don't understand all that kind of stuff, because either way, that he found the body there, and if he did find it from his get the information from his girlfriend that heard it in the jail
mm-hmm.
while they were together, how would they know anyway where the body was?
Here's what
so that should be put on the side.
Well, here's what happens. One side, the accusing side, throws all this mud, you know, and each mud has a little signature tag on it, what it represents. And if you're the defense, you start knocking out those little signature tags. You take away him accidentally finding this, that was over there, and this, and you start narrowing it down to make them prove now that how did that child get there, and how possibly could his client have done that? So you start taking away things, and the way you take them away is either they lied and it didn't really happen, or something was breached, you know, and that attorney-client privilege being breached by somebody inside that jail, that caused a big problem.
I hope she don't walk from it.
Okay, let's move on, because we've got a lot of ground to cover here. TJ, I know you're suffering from cold and flu and all of those evil things.
A little Ebola, you know, bleeding from the eyes, it's all right.
Oh, okay, nothing serious.
No.
And I do also want to... tell our listeners, particularly the ones that are calling in, please just bear with us. We will get to your call as soon as we possibly can. Summer Thompson.
Yes.
What the hell is going on in Florida?
Man. Boy, if I knew that answer, I tell you, right now there are a lot of people who have joined forces with one another. This has been happening in different sections of Florida, as you know, but right now it's been concentrated in the north-central area with Jessica Lunsford, Trenton Duckett, also Kaylee Anthony and Haley Cummings, and now we have Summer Thompson, and then we have that little boy down in Immokalee.
Adjudicator.
And then we have Mark Lunsford, who lost his daughter Jessica to... Johnny Vander Cooey, the late Johnny Vander Cooey, who had the good sense to die in prison, so nobody had to kill him, who he killed his daughter, and he came out with Jesse's Law, and he got that passed, which strengthens some of the laws that are in place and puts enhancements on it. But you know what? It's still not a deterrent, and many people right now are getting grassroots organizations together and at least talking to one another. We don't want to have another law named after another dead child.
Right.
Amen.
We just don't want to. We don't want to have any more dead children in Florida.
Amen.
That's it. And yes, I'm angry, and I'm not going to yell because it upsets people. But you know what? hearing Deanna Thompson lose her composure, lose her heart, lose her child, and nearly lose her mind on national television. Yeah, that didn't sit well with other people either.
No, it didn't.
And the thing is, it's not supposed to. It's not supposed to sit well with you. It's supposed to anger you. It's supposed to make you a proactive citizen, and sometimes, and in this case, a reactive citizen.
Amen.
Now, I did have a lot of people email and call me and ask me, what kind of idiots are in Clay County? Well, I don't know. From everything that happened when this child... separated herself and took off from her brother and sister on the way back home from school. And the child couldn't be found. The kids notified, the parents, and as soon as the parent found out, the mom found out, word went out on radio, on television, all over the town, all over Orange Park. It was quick, very quick. The police were notified, of course. And when that happens, they assemble the CART program, which is C-A-R-T. If you go to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and I think it's .us.fl, but do a Google search on FDLE and the CART program, C-A-R-T, and you see what that is. That is assembled quickly, and that is by multi-jurisdictional agencies taking their part in their role and getting out on the street, trying to find the child, trying to get some questions answered, doing everything that they possibly can to find the child, and this time it was too late. And we have no idea who in the heck could have taken the 7-year-old Angel and killed her. We don't know the method of death. That has not been released. The autopsy results have not been released. They have vetted over 1,000 workable leads so far. This is working very, very quickly. They have identified and questioned all 161 registered sex offenders. Okay, there's the key word, registered.
Right.
We don't know about the unregistered. We don't know about the first-time ones.
What kind of
diligence?
Yeah, what kind of area are we talking about?
Residential. Residential. This allegedly occurred in a vacant house.
No. The 160...
just right there in the city, in a five-mile radius.
Five-mile radius, 160 registered sex offenders.
In some cases, this is where this needs to be reworked. In some areas, you can be categorized as a sex offender by peeing out back at a convenience store, hoping nobody sees you when you have to really go, and you've been caught or you've been using your genitals as a sex offender for going to the bathroom incorrectly. And I'm not saying that public urination is a good thing, because it's not. But sometimes you can get that tax or something like that. There's also the rum things, but those are usually weeded out when they go through the sex offenders lists and what have you. So, it's kind of broad, but they go from the nastiest to the least, and they go through the protocol as fast as they possibly can, trying to, one, make sure that they're accounted for, two, make contact with them, question them vigorously of their whereabouts, and make sure that, that these folks don't leave town. Don't leave their area, and they're easily accessible if they ever need them. But the thing was, the child's body was found in a landfill with the help of some garbage truck drivers, I believe. And there's been special vigils going on for the last several nights. I've been part of a few of these. Now, Mary Justino.
BJ?
Uh-oh, TJ, are you still with us?
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm still here. Did I lose you?
I wanted to ask you, TJ, if it was possible that this little girl could have climbed into a garbage bin to hide from these boys or whatever and got picked up by the trash truck, or is it definitely foul play involved here?
Right now, what is being said is that they don't know if it's male, female. They're referring to the culprit as it, and they're not saying anything more about this at this point. The information coming out is very well protected in this, in hopes that they can find who this person might be. It's a possibility, culprit. It truly is. She got separated from her brother and sister over an argument. She just took off. So nobody really knows, and it's a possibility, but they do believe foul play is involved. In fact, the sheriff had said a couple of days ago there is a child killer on the loose.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I read that.
PJ.
Yes.
We were talking a second ago about the registered sex offenders in the neighborhood, Somers neighborhood. Do you remember offhand, it's been a few months, but when Haley went missing, that was one of the first things that was mentioned. Wasn't there 500 or something?
245, I believe, in that ballpark. It was well over 200.
Okay. And, I just throw this out because I was shocked by it. Several months ago, I did a series of blog talk shows about crimes against children.
Yes, sir.
And I had on a couple of experts, and recollection is that they told me the registered sex offenders are, those numbers are only about 10% of the actual sex offenders.
That's true.
The ones that have been caught and had a register.
The ones that have been caught and prosecuted, yeah.
Right.
You don't know how many are still in the system. You don't know how many are pending. You don't know how many people have never been caught. I mean, you're absolutely right. That's only 10%. And why do sex offenders find themselves in Florida? The people have asked that question. Well, the weather is pretty good. You're not going to freeze to death. Cost of living once you get away from the coastal areas of Florida, brother, it ain't bad. If you're in the interior Florida, I mean, Orange Park is, somewhat close to the Atlantic, but it's on the other side of the St. John's River, on the west side of Jacksonville. But the thing is, it's just north of Putnam County, as a matter of fact, and in these areas you're going to find that they're kind of spread out, and you can actually live in a lot of different places in counties like this where you're not going to be near a school or a place where you can't be. And you can oftentimes work for yourselves where you don't have to worry about being screened by a potential employer. And you can, you know, probably put together a pretty decent life, you know, doing that, being a handyman. And I don't think people actually ask to see if you're wearing a bracelet or if you've got papers on you if they need the roof fixed sometimes after a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I do want to take a caller. We have someone coming in from the 904 area code, but I do ask that you turn down whatever you're listening to. 904, are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay, what's your question or comment for us?
Well, my question is going to go to Cobra. Is Cobra there?
I'm here.
Cobra, Pastor John, how you doing?
Hey, Preach, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Cobra, I don't know if this is the place to air out laundry, but I'm trying to get down to the facts of what's been going on. I understand that you and I have never had a problem with one another when I joined you at the Haley case in spiritual guidance and prayer. Is that correct?
That's right, brother, man.
Go ahead.
I said, what's troubling you, brother?
Well, what's troubling me is a gentleman out in the Midwest area from some blog station that's been writing a lot of innuendos and hearsays about my involvement with the Haley case. To the best of my knowledge, in working alongside of all of you, I was never part of that so-called dream team, but was there basically for the biological mother and any girl that might have needed some prayer and spiritual guidance. Am I correct in assuming that?
How about if I just go ahead and lay it out there for you, Preach? This guy, this action group or whatever it is with all the writings in and stuff, I saw where they were claiming that you alleged to be an FBI agent, which is false. He never did that, folks. He never set up any fake searches. There were no fake searches. Law enforcement has brought me in 2 or 3 times and asked me questions several more times. There's somebody out there on the blogs that is continuing to listen to crayon folks who have stories that are almost 6 months old now, almost as long as the child's been missing. They've taken a lot of private conversations and guesswork and, you know, well, I was talking to this guy and this, and made it such a, like there's some major investigation going on. But for the public's edification, Preach, number one, he never once showed me any badgers representing himself as FBI or any of that crap. And there was, I think that in the end, we're going to blame it all on a therapy dog. And that little therapy dog was out there. If they would have had a man eater out there, some kind of cadaver dog or something like that, and basically that whole search incident, since we're covering that, came about by soothsayers. The Bible says fortune teller soothsayers come up with the idea that this child was buried at a church. Don't know.
Pastor Reagan, would I be correct in assuming that you're Jeremiah's father?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, I just wanted to you know, clear that up for our listeners who are probably going, oh, who's this guy?
Yeah, well, it's a very decent man, folks, I'll tell you that. The guy was not involved with any of the business of Haley Bug or any of that. I'd see him. He'd bring me a cup of coffee in the morning. We never discussed the case and stuff, and I happened to run into him on that particular weekend out there, and the way that whole thing came about, some soothsayer said something about a church. So basically all churches in Putnam and Satsuma had the folks go out and look. They looked at a lot of searches, a lot of ground searches, a lot of different things. On this particular one, there was the incident of the keys that belonged to Nene's car, and most of the stuff that was found, that so-called fake search, came out of the trunk of Nene's car. We tracked back the little medicine thing to Destiny, which is Nene's child. This mysterious suitcase happened to belong to the girl they picked up over there in the Daytona area. That's why it had a map in it. I did see you out there, Pastor, and I think the only thing, he came to drop your son off because he was very active in assisting and just having a pastor's heart on everything. And I've read those blogs and I've read those things, and I said if I ever got a chance to speak up for you, he's a good man. I don't have anything but praise for the pastor, and all that crap I'm reading just infuriates me. But, Pastor, consider yourself lucky. My pastor in Orlando has been accused of a human sacrifice, so anything's possible, Pastor.
Well, I thank you very much for the kindness, and by the way, to everybody else that's in the studio, good afternoon. I think the thing that's annoying me more than anything else is the false allegations going around about being a so-called FBI agent. And I'd like to set the story straight on that, in that I've had the privilege and the honor of working alongside federal agents, county agents, state agents, local authorities, everything you can think of from 9/11 all the way down. I have never, ever claimed to be an FBI agent, Civil Air Patrol, or whatever have you. I only worked as a volunteer chaplain for a local police department where I used to live. Occasionally being a pastor in the area, and all pastors in the area go through this, with law enforcement, there might become a death or something like that where it needs notification to the family. And if they don't have a chaplain in their local department, they go to the local clergy or the pastors within the area, and it kind of goes at random, and we kind of go on a revolving usage type of thing. But this gentleman out west, right into action, has got so many hearsays and innuendos. What I'd like to do is just give him the opportunity to retract these things. Now, I know for a fact that Wei Ann and yourself, because I have the paperwork in front of me, have been requested by the two of you to retract that stuff, yet he refuses to retract it. And if he is listening, I'd like to say that, buddy, you have definitely ruined 20 years' worth of ministry work. You have put my family in turmoil, my wife, my children. It's just become a downright nightmare. And if it would produce Haley and bring her up, I wouldn't mind going through it again. Not at all in any way, shape, or form. We met Crystal at JCPenney's. Jeremiah was with me the day that we met her. And I volunteered, and I said, if there's anything that I can ever do for you. I know a lot of pastors in the area. All the churches are praying for a safe return. Let me know. And occasionally, I was requested to come down and pray at a vigil we had there. In fact, I was even asked by one of the department members of the county to do the invocation and praying on the prayer and food that afternoon when all the agents were gathered and they were shuffling information back and forth. But all these accusations he's made where I've kidnapped Wei Ann and brought her up there, heck no, I didn't do that. My wife and I drove her to the airport. I produced my chaplain's identification and actually my pastor's identification to the police that were up there that work in the airport area and told them that this woman is an advocate for children's rights. She's been harassed. Would you please make sure nothing happens to her and put her on the plane?
Exactly.
It's that old saying, no good deed goes unpunished.
Oh, indeed. No good deed goes unpunished.
Well, Pastor, I will set the record straight on you out there, and I will make this promise to you. If we get so involved in it that we can't get some retractions going on, then when I own the site right into action, I'll write the retraction, all right?
Well, I would appreciate that. Again, I'd like to give that gentleman the opportunity to take it down. And I'd like to encourage the people throughout the United States that are independent journalists and are bloggers to continue doing good work as the people are sitting on your board right now, but to go ahead and do it in a proper fashion. I've never been contacted him, never asked him, never spoke to the man. And I just figured leave it alone, let it go by the wayside. I'm sitting here at the computer right now, and I'm not computer savvy, but I'm sure seeing a lot of talk going back and forth in the chat room. People want to know where my son is. My son's up in the Connecticut area right now getting ready for snowplow season. After everything fell apart down here, he decided to go back up north. So that's where he is, everybody. He's trying his best to get on with his life. And I'm doing the same thing.
What's this? Well, good luck to you, Pastor, and don't sweat the small stuff, man. Keep doing God's work. And, crayon people are going to talk to little dogs, and dogs are going to answer. And, and that little feller Gunny out there, I'll tell you what. Now, the police asked me several times about the same kind of questions, and I thought one time would be good enough, but they keep on sending it out there. There was no fake search. There was no fake
nothing.
They were looking for a child, period, and none was found. And whatever that crazy-ass dog found, it's a therapy dog. It's a dog that you pet when you get sick. It ain't a dog. It's a lap dog. It ain't a dog for going out and finding nothing with any identifying markers of anything, period.
Well, it is a nice dog. It's a big old thing.
Yeah.
And I have to say here on radio, a lot of the things that this young lady spoke about, those things were said, but they were taken and misconstrued, such as me working with different departments. I don't have a badge with these people. I'm not employed with them. Heck, I ain't nothing more than a street preacher. You know, trying to find two nickels to rub together to put food on the table for another individual is down on his luck.
That's right, brother.
And I'm just
okay,
going to go back and continue doing what I was doing. So I thank you all for the time. I'm sorry I tied you up, and hopefully he'll get a chance to get this all straightened out.
It will get straightened
out. Well, I hope that everything gets straightened out. And, you know, yourself, your son, that there are so many victims in this. In this case, it's become almost unmanageable.
You're right. Simon, you said a mouthful.
It is. Well, folks, I thank you very much for the opportunity. And for those in the chat room, I'm just having a giggle sitting back here looking at all the innuendos going on because they all really don't know what's going on.
No, they just that's what they do, man. They do that stuff. That's what their job is. I don't even pay no attention to them. I said it. If nobody don't believe it, fine and dandy. Let them keep on going down the wrong road.
Okay.
You folks all take care, and thank you very much for the opportunity. Bye-bye.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
TJ, I take it we have you back on the line.
Yes, you do, sir.
Okay. All right. Let's take some more callers. Someone coming in from the mysterious 111 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Okay, is this me?
Yes. This
is Taysil, and I was hoping that John Reagan would have stayed on the line long enough for me to have been able to ask him if he was willing to do a voice or lie detector test, because I believe what Judy and Gunny done that day, I believe there was a fake search that was conducted out there that day. Why the fake search was conducted is
hey, here's the deal. This is I'll step forward.
Listen, Cobra, I don't want to talk to you, okay?
I'll take the voiceover. I'll take the stress test. I'll do that, okay, because I was there. I'll do it. I got no qualms about it, none whatsoever. He did not do that stuff. That stupid-ass dog told everybody he did, and somebody like you who wasn't there, I was there, and I know.
Okay. All right. We seem to have lost K-Sue. Let's move on to another caller. We have someone coming in from the 904 area code. What's your question or comment for us? Hello, 904.
Would that be me?
It would be you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Well, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, seeing my dear friend of many years, it's probably been 13 or 14 years, being slandered by one Tiny Tim Holmeseth, and he must be tiny. He's a small-minded individual, without a doubt.
Cola, what is your name? Just because we like to use names.
Great. Well, my name is Robert Edwards. I'm president of ImediaMax.com. But nonetheless, it's horrifying what's going on here and how everyone's gotten away from the issue of finding Haley and
Amen.
Just made war.
Amen.
And I just can't stand to see this. John Regan has more compassion, love, fortitude, and courage in his butthole than most of us out there.
Amen.
This is a wonderful man who has spent, you know, all the time I've known him doing for others. He'd give people literally his last meal and a shirt off his back. You know, I've seen him give away his last $5 to someone that was hungry. And the people out there that are spreading these innuendos and this gossip should drink the Kool-Aid and should be ashamed that they should spread rumors about a man who almost gave his life for our country, lost two legs and an arm, and spent 3 years in rehab. Luckily, they were able to reattach one leg and one arm. You know, these people should be ashamed of themselves for spreading these kind of rumors, and they should stand behind this man and help him and support him and try to undo the wrong that they've done, like this woman that was on the telephone.
Amen.
You know, I'm sorry. You know, I can't help it. This is a good man, and to see him hurt so much emotionally, financially, and socially by Tiny Tim Holmesmith. By the way, his website looks like garbage. It's one of the worst-looking websites I've ever seen. And, you know, he's like a fifth-rate wannabe journalist. You know, he can hardly put five words together. He writes off all these damn letters to all these officials trying to sound like some wannabe lawyer. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that complains about his neighbor who bought a new car and has an extra car in the driveway to the homeowners association. I bet he's got thousands of reports filed with his local code enforcement agency. You know, and Tiny Tim should go ahead, man, and stay, you know, drink his wine, smoke his pot, take his drugs, because he's on something the way he writes and puts things together. And, you know, just go tiptoe through the tulips and leave other people alone.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Okay, I'll tell you what. This isn't the Tiny Tim show, so I'm gonna skip this and move on. Man, I have a busy switchboard.
Hey, I do have some extra Haley news that did come out this week. That actually, this is TJ. Tim Miller spoke with Kristen Chambers with the Palatka Daily News this week, and you'll find it on Palatka.com. We also linked it at thesky973.com. I owe you $5 for that. Tim Miller with Texas Equisearch made the statement in the Palatka Daily News this weekend that he firmly believes that Haley is dead. He said she's as dead today as she was a few days ago and as she will be in the months ahead to come. And this was all revolving the possibility of him resuming his search in the area.
Oh, and you forgot the "and as dead as she was 6 months ago."
And as she was 6 months ago. Thank you for correcting me on that. I appreciate it. He was evidently called into service. I didn't see him in the Jacksonville Orange Park area search. But anyway, Kristen Chambers was able to catch up with him. The family members, as you well know, believe otherwise. They believe that, of course, young Haley is still alive, still among us. And this search needs to be, you know, picked up a notch even further in order to get resolution and to get the child home and get the child home alive as well. So that, as far as getting right back down to Haley and searches, is the news that has come out of Putnam County on that so far this week.
Huge.
And some would say that, you know, the way it was written it indicated that Mr. Miller conducts his searches primarily for live people. And I don't know how he gets paid or what have you, and I'm not going to make any allegations or any insinuations, but he had to hurry back to Oklahoma to search for a potential live person, and, you know, I think that's their main impetus is to try to find people alive, because that's the whole key to the whole deal.
Yeah. Right. I'm pretty certain that you received the same email that I received earlier in the week from Captain Dominic Piscatello.
Oh, yes. I don't have that email address now, but I think it's Haley at Putnam County Sheriff's Office .org or PutnamSheriff.org.
Yeah, it is Haley at PutnamSheriff.org. The email that we received came from Dominic Piscatello, and while you could view it in a couple of different ways, I'll take it the positive way.
Sure.
He was asking us, I think it went out to about five news organizations.
Yeah, five that actually participate in this on a daily basis. Yes.
Right. And the problem that he's facing is that many people are sending in tips, you know, and updates in email, but they're spreading it across many, many email addresses, which means that they're not being dealt with directly. You know, they're going through several departments. So he asked us to put on the air that the best email address to use, and he assures us that he will be checking each and every one of them, in a timely fashion. It's Haley@PutnamSheriff.org.
And you know something, you said something without saying it, is that sometimes there, the disorganization comes in when you have over 5,000 to 6,000 tips being flooded in, and it's hard to triage them and separate the workable from the totally unworkable. And this way, it's all one place, and they don't have to piecemeal anything, and nothing gets lost. And, you know, I got to credit Captain Piscatella for that. Hard-working guy, he's got kids of his own. And I know personally that this case has just ripped him up inside out.
Yes. I mean, I can't say that I know the man very well, but I have a lot of respect for him. What about you, Cobra? What do you know about Captain Piscatello?
Well, I tell you, at the harshness of being attacked with 50 emails again, that I'm speaking good for the cops so the cops can help me out, which is bullshit, because if they're going to help me out, they would help me out. Captain Dominic Piscatello is probably one of the nicest men you're going to meet in Putnam County, and I would just associate his name to integrity.
Yeah.
Talk to him, you're talking to an integrity filled man that's also a believer, that's also, like he said, he's got children, and he goes through day to day things like we do. So he has all these day to day things on him, and then he has the added burden of this missing child. Of course, all the other cases and whodunits, and you know, crime didn't stop the day Haley came up missing, and now we got 9 months of crime piled up on top of it. But if there was any person, one person that I knew in Putnam County that cared as much as some of the truthful carers, you know, the ones that really truthfully care, he would lead the list. Better than a father, better than a mother, and full of integrity. And I'm still not doing the man any justice by saying that. I mean, he's in slang, he's off the chain when it comes to who he is. You know?
Yeah. I will say that this case has its share of characters, but this man is character personified. So he has a great deal of character without any character.
He's always treated me with respect. And, you know, you hear some of the things and some of the goings on that he was this away or that away. I think crayons have a way of melting the truth off the page, so to speak. He is a man of integrity, period. And he has absolutely, absolutely not a damn thing to do with my case. So There you go.
Yeah. Another thing that has taken place in this case, if you follow the circus, was that Misty was allegedly robbed trying to buy drugs. That's all I got to say.
Oh, you see that? No, she ain't doing no drugs. Ain't nobody up there doing no drugs, TJ.
Not in Putnam County, no sir. Not there at Oxycontin Fast Lane.
Drugs.
What can you tell us about the drug thing?
Well, allegedly, three young ladies were just minding their own business trying to visit friends at the Ragsdale apartment, and, well, two of them managed to get away in a car, and one was kind of left to fend for herself, and all reported being robbed. It was later discovered that they were trying to buy drugs. But a lack of PD, that's theirs, and it's not Putnam County's, so they're working on it. They're scratching.
I don't know what kind of drugs was he trying to buy.
That has not been information that I've been able to ascertain. And if I did, I probably forgot it because of the medicine right now.
Let's call WWD out here and ask him if he's still on the ground in Putnam County. Maybe he can go by over there and say, hey, what kind of drugs y'all sell out up in here?
Well.
Okay, TJ.
Go ahead, sir.
I'll try and not pick on you. Because you're obviously a little bit under the weather, but has anyone figured out where the hell Misty is living?
We understand that she's been working to get her restraining order lifted against her brother so that she can cohabitate with the whole Croslin clan, dad, mom, sister, and dad, mom, brother, and sister-in-law. That's the last I got on it.
That's great.
Yeah, well,
okay.
You know, like I said, that's the circus end of it, and I, you know, folks, we need to bring back the Haley awareness, and something that I was asked to do by some folks who follow my radio station and my stuff on Twitter. And I encourage you, if you're on Twitter, and I know that, Simon, you've dabbled with Twitter a little bit, and it just makes you giggle because it sounds funny, and I know. But if you're on Twitter, use the #Mark and Haley and try to make it what they call a trend, so that it comes out and it brings out a lot of awareness. A lot of people use Twitter these days for instant communication. It's 140 characters that you can use at one time, and it's a very quick, easy way to communicate. And also what they call tiny URLs or addresses can be modified from big ones, too, to get out some information. If you're trying to get information to people or to the masses, it can direct you to the link. And many of us have been using the Crime Stoppers link at the Putnam County Sheriff's Office website. So it's Haley, #Mark Haley, and then the tiny URL for the Putnam Sheriff's Office and Crime Stoppers.
Okay. Let's take a quick call. We have someone coming in from the 817 area code, and I do want to say this to all of our listeners. We do have phone lines open. We don't necessarily answer the phone right away, but if you bear with us, we will get to your call. And the number to call is 646-378-1120. Caller from the 817 area code, what's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, guys. This is Lily Mae / Hart, Cobra.
Yes, ma'am.
I point blank asked you very early on about Timothy Holsmith.
Yes, ma'am.
And you gave him high remarks.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what's the difference now?
Well, here's what happened, ma'am. Early on, he had wrote a song about called The Murderer, and I wrote him an email and told him it was a beautiful song. Then he wrote me a song. It was a beautiful song. Then he told me he was a journalist, so I shared with him some of the journalistic things the journalist was talking about. And then he started perverting them, and I called him up, and I said, hey, we found the answer to that. You don't need to be on that subject no more. And he continued to push the subject, thinking he knew something about it. Then he got more slanted and more slanted and more slanted. Then he started attacking me, putting stuff, recording me secretly and doing stuff that, you know, he shouldn't have been doing. And then I noticed that the attack went from me to other folks. So he was kind of like sheep's clothing, come to me and befriended me and took advantage of my meekness like that. And now I'm 38 hot. So now you got a lot of people that's been hurt by his innuendos and his false writings, claiming to be some type of AP writer or something. So,
okay, was that a real recording that he did with you and Johnny Sheffield?
Well, I don't mind too much the Johnny Sheffield business. The one that offended me when I was 38 hot about Miss Neves, I thought I was told a story, and the story was told to me a couple of times, and then all of a sudden I got on the phone with Timmy, and I was 38 hot about it, and I was doing some cussing stuff, and you know, he recorded that and put that stuff out there. But he keeps coming up with all these news flashes and fake searches and all this stuff, and ma'am, quite frankly, it's none of it's true. I mean, did I get on there and cuss and raise all kinds of deckings? Yeah.
Okay.
I was for 6 months ago, ma'am. You know.
It doesn't matter about you cursing. I just want to know if that was actually Johnny Sheffield.
No, a lot of it was me cussing. I mean, Johnny, I ain't got no problems with Johnny. You know, Johnny's moved on up to West by God or Kentucky or someplace.
Kentucky.
I'm out of it a little bit. I mean, we've been kind of busy taking care of other issues. And one of the biggest issues is Crayon Timmy up there doing all this stuff. And it seemed like every time I got ready to go to court, damn, if he wouldn't send one to the cops, to the prosecutor's office and everything else. And, yes, going into the situation, I made a lot of mistakes. I mean, I hired and brought in Art Harris. I talked with different reporters, and Timmy has been the most difficult one of them all. And somehow or another, I think what he's doing is an Enquirer type of situation, a National Enquirer, like a fiction part, some parts true, and then fiction. And then he's so far backdated that the only thing new he has is to grab the stories now that he's putting out and pervert them. So if I've misled you to say that that was a good old boy, you know, the good old boy drank some Kool-Aid and got sick or drunk or something and went bananas. So you know, I wouldn't ask you to stay with him if that's what you're asking. That I
well, no, Tim has been questionable from the beginning.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We were going by what you were saying, what
yeah.
you were telling us.
I'm irresponsible,
here?
And I'm very, very
yeah.
sorry about it. And I've
yeah,
about
Cobra.
Sorry.
I'd like to add a comment on that. I mean, everybody, I know a lot of people, and a lot of people, especially in cases like this, hear different stories from this one and that one, but everybody forms an opinion on someone based on what they know about them, and then later find out something that isn't true about it. And now why do they have to keep their word? I mean, why is their word coming back to them because they changed their mind about it? I don't know how many people I have heard in this case online, the commenters, the people that have read our articles that 6 months ago thought this person was such a great person, and now, and they said some pretty awful things about them, and now they don't like them, or they do like them. And why is it that can't be like that now? I don't know if I'm saying this like it is, but I mean, I'm getting so tired of everybody saying Cobra lied. But you got to look at it like this. Maybe he did like it, and with the time when he said all that, he believed what he was saying, but now he's seen more different things that's come up from it. So
when I was a child, I think there's a child, and when I grew older, I think there's an adult. So
that's what I'm saying. I mean, why? So he found out more details about the man, and he's changed his opinion of him. That doesn't make him a liar.
No, I didn't lie in any of those things. They were happenings at the time that we believed them to be true, so we reported
exactly.
on them, commented on them, and then when we found out, just like the story where TJ put out there some kind of fallacy about something went crazy, and they, oh my God, and then they said it was a big hoax. Well, they've never admitted to all these other things that they've done to be a big hoax. They've left guys like me, and Simon, Jan, Denny, TJ stand in the wake and say, well, damn, what the hell? He said this, and now he's saying that. Well, quit playing around out there and quit rewriting the damn things crooked 5-6 times and believing that shit. I'm just telling you, early on, I always treat everybody like I want to be treated, and I accept them as my brother. When they do something crosswinded and get all crazy with shit, and you say, hey, man, you're crazy. Then he becomes crazy. Then what do? You know?
Okay. We do have to move on. I've got a very, very busy switchboard.
Mm-hmm.
We have someone coming in from the 423 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
This is Ann in Tennessee.
What's looking, Ann?
Hi, everybody. Hi. And I'm pissed like everybody else. I guess I've got more or less a comment because I know it's true. John Reagan impersonated a FBI person.
I'm going to tell you he did not. And I'm going to tell you he did not. I was there. He did not. Here's what the FBI came into it. I got a black truck, low to the ground, blacked out. I mean blacked out. When I pulled up, the Gunny's handler said, who's that? Because she'd never seen me or my truck. And as some smart ass said, that's the FBI. So when I stepped out of the truck, then all of a sudden they got confused. But if anybody was going to be accused of being the FBI, it was me. It was not Reagan. And I was there, Ann. So believe not what somebody else told you. I was standing right there.
Okay. All right. I think I've had enough of of this particular arena to explore. TJ.
Yes, sir.
What's happening with the rest of the sideshows? Like Ron was on the Maury Povich show, I believe.
Yes, I received some information and it was kind of difficult to consume because allegedly this took place behind the scenes of the show, of the Maury Povich show, involving, again, a psychic. And you know, you can only take from what you see, okay? Because I worked with one woman by the name of Greta Alexander for many years back in Springfield, Illinois. And Greta was scary good, but I haven't really seen anybody quite like that since she died. This woman got hit by lightning, and suddenly she got these powers. Yeah, I mean, talk about odd, you know. I'm sitting there going, oh, yeah, all right. Well, I met her for the first time, I think, back in 1986, 87. Shook hands with her. That was a bit of a life changer. But, you know, she's reaping her reward in heaven these days. But as far as other mentalists, I have not seen a whole lot of credibility with them. However, from what I'm trying to recall from the email I received with the paper and everything else, screenshots and the photos, if I remember this correctly, Ron and Teresa, Ron Cummings and Teresa Neves, were asked to be quiet backstage, and the mentalist or the psychic was doing some doodles on a piece of paper, and the piece of paper just had doodles all over the place. But I believe what the person said was that the woman involved had an S in her name, and the man's name was Marty. And that's all I got. And for the love of me, yeah, for the love of God, for the love of all things good, you'd sure hate to point a finger at somebody simply because their name is Marty and they just might happen to live within a five-mile radius, or once before lived within a five-mile radius of that house. But that's been passed on to law enforcement at Haley at PutnamCountySheriff.org, at PutnamSheriff.org. But that's I saw that, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. But evidently the woman who had S in her name was someone that that the child knew, and the person, Marty, it's not known. I can't remember the email well enough to tell you if that person was a known quantity to the child or not. But like I said, I'm going from memory here. So,
I do want to make a very quick comment.
Please do, sir.
And it's to the people in the chat room. It is not that I am being biased toward one view or another. However, this show is about Haley Cummings, not Cobra, not TJ, not anyone else. It's about finding a little girl. You know, if you're not interested in finding the little girl, don't listen. And with that, the switchboard...
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. I was going to defer to Danny after we take a call. I had a question for him.
No, let's go to Danny.
Danny, in all your work, the use of psychics in investigation, have they been helpful to your knowledge?
No.
Okay.
Now, that's just personal experience. I've heard of cases where they have been, but I haven't personally seen that. Not to say that they're not, I'm not making a judgment, just my personal experience, I have to say no. Although, I've got to tell you, there are cases, I believe, that when you're at a dead end or not making any progress, I'm open to taking any route that might lead to a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a little out of the norm, that's fine with me. I have no problem doing that. And I've heard of cases where psychics have been pretty much right on. So I'm not saying don't use them. I'm just saying my personal experience has not been, it's been limited and not particularly positive. That doesn't mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't be used or shouldn't be considered. I'm sure it's like anything else. Some are probably better than others. But I know a lot of police organizations and individual detectives and so forth are somewhat reluctant to bring in the psychics.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay, TJ, I'm going to turn that question on you.
Yes.
Have you ever had any success with psychics?
I will only tell you what I witnessed with Greta Alexander, that she was probably hitting in the high 77 or the high 70% mark over the period of years, and that she had been called in cases, but some of them were, you know, somewhat predictable, with a predictable outcome that wouldn't have required a psychic to do it. But in other cases, it was pretty astonishing. But since her, I haven't seen any that have done very well at all. I've seen profilers do much better.
Yes. Profilers are actually very, very clever people.
Mm-hmm. Simon?
Yes.
Can I make a comment about something?
Certainly, Denny.
You know, I've always, for my adult life anyway, been interested in getting to the bottom of things, such as the Haley case. I mean, and there are a lot of people, I guess, like me, who are curious and try to figure out what happened and review the evidence. I know you have a lot of them listening to the show now and in the chat room and so forth that have been trying to get to the bottom, amateur sleuths, if you will, of what happened to Haley. And that's fine. But I'm tickled pink that I don't live in Florida in that area, because I may have wanted to try to get involved, to try to help somehow. And it seems to me that anybody, or most of the people who have taken an active role in this case, end up getting chewed up. And that could have happened to me if I was there. It's the kind of case that almost destroys or has a negative impact on a lot of the people who get involved in it. Sometimes maybe it's justified. I don't know. I'm not there. But sometimes it might be justified, and a lot of times it seems to be on innuendo, on half-truths, and outright lies. And, you know, people, it's just, it's an unfortunate situation, not only about Haley, but about the other stuff, too. It's really a shame, I think.
Yeah, thank you. Very good, very good, very good.
Yeah, TJ, you wouldn't agree, would you?
Wholeheartedly, I've watched a lot of good folks that you don't hear about in the news or see in the news who've been chewed up and spit out in this case. I'd see my good friend Cobra get chewed up and spit out 6 ways to Sunday. I've seen people that you might not care about. The Crystal's attorney was involved in a lot of innuendo and a lot of speculation and stuff like that. Her career has not benefited from it as well. You've seen some police officers who have, I don't want to say received disciplinary action, but certainly they've worked so hard at this, and to only be told, you know, back down and, stay close. I'm not probably not saying that right, so I apologize for that, folks. The words aren't coming to me right now. My brain is not going like it should. There have been family members who simply wanted to help, and you know, they got their butts chomped on, and just like I said, so many. If you wonder why the national press walked away from this story when they did, it's just as Denny outlined it. There was a feeding frenzy going on. And God, I've never seen anything like this. Dana Treen, who's a great writer for the Florida Times Union, did something on all the different bloggers and blog sites. And I'm not blaming bloggers. I mean, you're just emotional and you just care. That's all. But you got to remember sometimes, folks, if your feet aren't on the ground and you're not out here and you're not wading knee-deep in a snake pit, avoiding gators, avoiding folks with guns in some cases, talking to liars, talking to folks with agendas, talking with folks who have something to hide, all in the search for a little girl, you have absolutely no clue what you're talking about other than what you read or what you hear. I mean, you can't fathom it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saying this with a great deal of love and compassion. You cannot fathom this. This is beyond the scale of reality. I covered the Illinois House for 22 years, and I know what kind of a slime pit that is, but at least you had some kind of a direction to go by with covering crooks in that realm. And, Yeah, I can never go back to that state. I can tell you that right now.
Okay, TJ, Jen has a question for you.
Yes, I do, from the chat room. Mm-hmm. They want to know about the psychic that she was talking about. They want to know if they said that Haley was alive.
Dead. She's dead.
I'm trying to remember that, and I'm not near my email. I want to think that I remember that she's alive. That's my prayer anyway, and maybe that's my own bias filtering into that, trying to answer a question I don't know the answer to or can't remember the answer to right now, but that's all I got. I wish I remembered that. It's pretty significant if you ask me, but I believe that the person said that she is alive.
Okay, they want to know who was the psychic.
That I'm not remembering right now. It was
okay.
I believe it was a male.
A male, okay.
I believe so. I have to go through probably about 1,200 emails to find that again.
Oh my word! Your email inbox must look like mine.
Yes.
Thank
you. Thank you, and folks, I appreciate your patience with me today. I really do.
Look, let's take another call. We do have a very hot switchboard. Someone coming in from the 773 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Good afternoon. Bob from Chicago. How are you?
Hey, Bob,
I'm doing
you
very
doing
well.
There?
You know him, Denny?
No, I don't.
Bob, say hi to my Illinois brother.
Listen, guys, first of all, I appreciate everything you do. It's a great show. Have you listened to the last Misty 911 call where the true Misty came out when her purse was apparently stolen as she was in some part of the seedy town trying to buy something that was probably illegal? If you get a chance to listen to it, you can hear the true Misty coming out versus that one call where she made when the obviously when the child was supposedly abducted.
Yeah, there's a little different in timbre and emotion.
Hey,
yeah.
Jay, send me that link if you don't mind.
I'm going to. I'm not by my computer right now. I wish I was. We definitely will. And once again, thanks for everything. Great show. We never miss it here at home. And I'll let you go. I know you guys are busy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Jay, if it was a mobster, he was a polite one.
Very polite. I'm impressed.
From Chicago, no doubt.
Okay, let's go to the 770 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hello, this is Diane from Georgia.
Hey.
Hello. I just wanted to point something out and make a comment. I heard what TJ was saying about the socket from Connecticut, which I already knew because I talked to Teresa about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to point out is Marty is also a name that I believe is involved in Haley's disappearance.
Oh, yeah, I mentioned that,
Yeah.
I did mention that, I did, but I don't know if it's male, female, or which Marty. There's a lot of Martys in that area.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just wanted to point out that that's what I have also been saying. Not the only person, but, you know, the name Marty is involved in what I've been saying.
Are you a psychic?
So, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I have talked to Teresa for quite some time. See, in the beginning, when this first happened, I thought that it was the green trailer down behind the behind Ron's house. But after learning more about the area and about the people, I realized that that was not the area. That was not the area that I saw. It was just so similar. These two places look so much alike. And that was where I got thrown off. But then later on, I realized that there were some details in the visions that I had that absolutely led to one person that I won't mention. But anyway,
have you
that
shared this
was
with law enforcement?
What?
Have you shared this with law enforcement?
Yes, from week one.
Okay, very good, very good.
From week one.
Okay.
Cobra has had a tiny little smidgen taste of my abilities. I think that I have talked to Cobra a couple of times about different people in the area because I'm hundreds of miles away, you know, and I learned by phone conversations and internet and stuff like that as far as, you know, the people that's involved and family members. And I've talked to Teresa almost from the first week that Haley came up missing. But I think Cobra had me investigated because he thought I had a camera looking into his window. Because every time I talked to Cobra, I would know where he was, and he wasn't too happy about that. So.
I talk to Cobra a lot, and I always know where he is. He's at the McDonald's getting three cheeseburgers and a small Coke.
Well, I would describe the place that he was in, and I think he got a little flustered about that. That was just, Cobra, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you. I told you, I don't subscribe into that stuff. So when people start telling me where I'm at, I'm looking out the windows to see where you is.
Yeah, I think I kind of freaked him out a little bit. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out, that what I said, that there is a Marty involved also.
Well, thank you.
So.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to area code 818. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Hello, this is Noreen.
Hello.
My question is, was Jeffrey Wands was the name of the psychic that was on that show that day, so I'm assuming it was probably Mr. Wands.
It probably was. I'm just not recalling his name right now.
Right. I was just wondering, do LE intend to work with the information that was given? And also, is there any chance that Mr. Wands or Diane actually know where Haley is? Can they be more specific?
Well, I tell you what, I'd like to see that happen. That would put a lot of things to the test instead of, you know, giving some wiggle room. And I'm not challenging to be a hard guy to folks with psychic abilities, because if you have those abilities, they're only as good as they are.
Right.
Much like anybody can throw a ball, but there are a lot of different degrees of how fast or how accurate a person can throw a ball.
I mean, it would be wonderful if they could tell us actually what state she's in at least. I mean,
or give me my lottery numbers. I don't mean to be. I'm sorry about that. I was just trying to be humorous, and it's not the right place to be.
Right.
But you're absolutely correct. I would like to see them come forward if they do have that, and go forward. But I do remember passing that information on to law enforcement with the email I received with those results and the pictures and everything else.
Okay. And do you think they're likely to work it, or you don't?
Well, the thing is that they have so much to go through, and as much as everyone wants to think that their tip is the tip, or could be their tip, there's a prioritization. You know, they have to open the emails as they come in, and then how they perceive it or how they proceed, it's something that they do. But I'm sure hoping that they do look. They have closing in between 5,000 and 6,000 tips. And if this is one that they perceive to be workable, I sure hope they do. I am with you on that.
Okay. We seem to be on a roll with the switchboard and have another one coming on. Someone from the 337 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment?
Hey, guys. This is Lindy Lou.
Hey.
Y'all got me going all different directions today, but one question. Tim Miller says he's not going to search based off of his feelings this past week.
Yes.
Yet I find clips saying that Tim Miller actually went to the concert this past weekend that was stating the money raised for that concert was going to, in fact, go to search with Tim Miller. And the reward is going to be raised. So if Tim Miller's not going to search, one, why hasn't that reward been raised, period? And if he's not searching, then all the money that was raised to the concert, again, should make the reward go up. Why haven't we seen that?
That's the first I knew that he actually attended. I had heard from folks on back channels that he would be, but I got to really check into that, and I'll do my homework on that.
On the band that was the band that was hosting the whole thing.
Yeah.
They have a site somewhere. That's it. Tim Miller was there, and all that good stuff. So if he was there, why now has it changed, and why has the script flipped?
When was the concert again? When was that held?
Last Saturday night.
Like last night?
A week ago.
Okay, I was gonna say because. He's been in this area again this week for the most part.
It was last weekend.
All righty. Thank
right.
you very much. I'm going to do some homework, I promise you, on that one, Miss Lindy.
Thank you.
Yes,
I appreciate
indeed. It. Now, there's an interesting
snippet. Well, I'd
like
to know what he's doing with the money, too, if he's been raising money for helping search for Haley.
Hey, but hold on a second.
And now he's saying he's not.
Hold on a
Amen.
Second. Jan. I hold on a second. Before we jump on Timmy and hold his butt underwater for a minute, look at all the other people that was collecting money all the way through this thing. A Haley bug, a Love bug, a Chew bug, a Deeg bug, a June bug, a Ice Tea man, all these collect. Where the hell did all that money go?
Well, I agree with that, too.
Yeah.
I'd like to see where it all went to.
Buying furniture, buying tampons, buying stuff. That's search to pay for searchers. Somebody's searching to get dogs, proper this, proper that. I ain't seen no money used for none of that
exactly.
yet. For edification of the family, we ain't got no job. Well, hell, get a job. There's people out there in America that has lost their kid and have to work five jobs to feed the other three that got left. And, you know, it's a tragedy, and people damn sure try to take advantage of stuff. And I'll just say this about Timmy. Timmy lost one of his own kids and in the business to finding people or helping people. And I think he got his feathers blowed back a little bit with all the lies and the corruption stuff that he ran into trying to help find this little child down there. So,
or a couple of misplayed hands using Donna Brock in a situation.
That's corruption.
Exactly.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm referring to. That kind of junk. I mean, you know.
Hey, you know, TJ, you know, it's a poker game. Occasionally you have to play a hand you don't like.
I understand. I've had to do that myself. I think we all have.
True.
Sober, I'm not down in Tim Miller at all. Please don't misunderstand.
Oh,
if this concert raised $5, then I should see an article today on Crime Stoppers that says $30,005
right.
to her reward. There should be five extra dollars added to that pot.
Right.
And I don't see it happening, and that's I'm fed up with it.
It's
where's this money going?
Well, the best laid plans of mice and men come into effect, and even though, you know, Timmy had the best idea to do this or do that, he's controlled by the same folks that TJ knows was controlling the whole thing then. Oh, no, we're not going to do that. Oh, no, don't do that. Oh, do this or do that. And hell, after a while, you know, are you really looking for a little kid? Is there really a little kid missing? Are y'all just doing this shit to have fun?
I want to try and bring in as many callers as I can today. So I'm going to switch to the 205 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Good evening, Simon and Jan. My question is for Cobra.
Oh, hello.
Hey, he's Cobra.
Like questions.
Cobra, when you went to pull the bond on Snobgrass or whatever, wasn't his friend's name Marty?
They called him nicknamed Marty, but I think his real name is Martin Reed.
Mm-hmm. But they still called him Marty, right?
That's what I've been calling him until I read the police report and saw his name, because that's what they told me his name was.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I got a question from the chat room. They want to know, was Junior taken away from Ronald over the gun stuff with Tim Miller after what Tim Miller said?
Shit. What do you think?
Oh, I don't think so, but the call is...
I would have answered no. We would have heard about that if it
yeah,
happened.
That would have been front page news.
Yeah.
law enforcement went out there with DCF, and I got to tell you, DCF is very... methodic and painstaking in getting, first of all, a report generated and then getting a report completed. They just don't have the manpower or the resources to do a lot of things. But law enforcement was assisting out there at that time. There was nothing in a police report that would insinuate that there was anything of any kind of wrongdoing out there, and DCF will not make any of their findings known other than founded or unfounded. And if founded, then there's a procedure that takes place which would kick in the Sunshine Law known as a court procedure.
You talk about mismanned and undergunned. The DCF in Putnam County is, there's a handful, there's one lady, and they have to use their own personal cars. They have to go into hellish conditions. They don't not carry no guns, but they are showing up at your door like a bounty hunter to take your damn kid. So
yeah.
Those folks up there, I'm going to tell you what, I've met with just about every one of them, and one particular one, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't do the damn job. I just flat out wouldn't.
You couldn't pay me enough.
No. Especially you got allegations of somebody putting a gun in their mouth and all this, and whether it's in front of a child or not in front of a child, and you're going to go out there and have to deal with, what if he gets pissed off when you come here to get that kid and get the gun after you? You know, just...
Stick it in your mouth, yeah.
man, there's just a lot of craziness going on, and that was one of the main reasons I brought Ms. Picazio to the case. You already got one child missing, something happened. Why are we waiting for another one to come up missing, something happened? Oops, had an accident.
Okay, let's take another caller. We have someone coming in from the 770 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
This is Diane again, the one that called a few minutes ago, the psychic.
Okay.
Well, the reason I'm calling back is I heard the other caller call in and say, well, what, you know, if there's a psychic, why don't they just tell us where she's at? I have gave Putnam County, you know, where I think she is, where I believe she is. You know, it hasn't been searched yet, but maybe someday it will be.
So what, you know, you sound like you was holding back there, Miss Georgia. So maybe that caller, in fact, I just got an email from probably the same caller, says, well, she's told law enforcement since day one, how come we don't want to know about it? So I said, I don't know, ask her. So there you go.
Now, what does that mean? I mean, we don't want to know about it. I don't want to send people, you know, I don't want to give the name, the area of where I think she is on air and how people storm in these people's property. You know, I don't want that coming back on me, but I have gave it to Putnam County.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know where it's at, Cobra.
Okay, well, why don't you call Crime Stoppers?
You talking about the tip line?
Yeah.
Well, I did that. I called from the very beginning. I've called the tip line and I've called Putnam County. I called so much to the point that I got a call back from Putnam County and they told me to mind my own business. So, you know, so since then I haven't, contacted them anymore about it. But they have my tip.
Why don't you try sending an email to Captain Dominic Piscatello, Haley@PutnamSheriff.org. I know that he reads every single email.
You know what? I will do that. I will try, you know, I will do that. But just let me say this. I have sent one to Lieutenant Greenwood. I've sent them to Sheriff Hardy. I've sent several emails about this. But to this day, this particular area has not been searched, you know. So,
well, I'm sure Captain Piscatello will read what you have to say and
mm-hmm.
take it seriously. Isn't that true, TJ?
It is. It's absolutely assured.
Well, you know, I just figured maybe they just don't believe in psychics or, you know, because I heard Mr. Greenwood say, well, you know, we get all these calls from all these people, but we've got nothing that's, you know, like we got to get concrete tips and evidence in before we actually going to look at them. But anyway, I will do that. But just so you'll know, and all the people in the chat room will know, that I have gave them where I believe she's at, the location, everything, and maybe someday or sooner or later they'll go search there.
Let's hope so.
Good luck with it.
Okay, we're in the last minute of the
lightning
broadcast
round.
TJ, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to put you on the block. What's your final thoughts for the day?
Final thoughts for the day. Let's get this search resumed. Let's do everything we can to get these tips in line, and let's not pay so much attention to the circus and refocus our efforts once again on the child. There's a lot of stuff going around with a lot of folks making a lot of comments, and perhaps they feel that they're being truthful to themselves, and that's fine, that's an opinion, but right now it's time to just get back to facts and positioning and repositioning and chin wagging. That's over. Let's find her. And if you want to, folks, also get behind your lawmakers or put a fire under their butts to get these child offenders behind bars for life. And there's not going to be any recidivism because they won't be let out after the first time.
Jan, you're up.
Well, I just want everyone to keep their prayers up, looking for Haley. And if she is alive out there, which I, in my heart, I still believe she is, let's pray that she is brought home like every other week. Just don't give up on the prayers. And I'd also like for everyone to say their prayers for the families of little Summer Renee Thompson, Elizabeth Holton, and still for Aggie Desir too. And these children, somebody's got to help somewhere along the line. Somebody has to help to protect our children.
Denny.
Yeah, a couple of comments about psychics. There's been quite a bit of talk the last few minutes about psychics. And the lady from Georgia who called in and said that she'd given law enforcement a specific address of, or location, I should say, where Haley is. Now, I realize that law enforcement has limited resources. They got hundreds or thousands of calls. They have to prioritize. I understand that. But hopefully, at some point, you know, if it's a legitimate and they don't seem to be making much other progress, why not check that out just to dispose of it? The other thing I would say is I hope that they didn't handle her, as she said, about telling her to mind her own business. I mean, maybe that was how she took the comment. Hopefully they didn't use those terms, because when you're out asking anybody with any information at all to please contact you and call this number to tell us whatever you know, it probably isn't very good if they use that term, say, shut up, mind your own business. So hopefully it was handled a little differently than that.
One would hope so. And Cobra.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I want to dive into that one. It's juicy and warm, but I'm going to let it go and trust that law enforcement is doing that, exactly as so stated. And I agree with TJ. Lock them up and don't let them out. You're not curing these folks. They're getting out with a stronger appetite for more children. And most of them don't get caught until they've completed about an 18-year event on children anyway. That's a law of averages. So 10%, and we got 53,000 of them, that means that's about 500,000 child molesters and freakazoids running around here messing with our kids. You know, that's pretty damn scary shit, you know?
Yes.
Oh, man. Those statistics just scare me.
Scary, man. 50,000 children a year come up missing in Florida. That, we get it resolved down to about around 2,000. We still got about that many we can't account for. And then more come up missing and find them on the dump. Man, this is our future, man. Somebody, Mr. Obama, the health care can hold up for a second. We need some help down here in Florida.
Indeed. And on that note, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a great Sunday, and I'm sure we'll all be talking again soon. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.